Well, I hope you have your Bibles today because I want you to turn to two passages in the Old Testament today. And so as you you find your seats, I want you to find your place. One is in Proverbs chapter 31. If you know where Psalms is, or just open your Bible, kind of the middle, Psalms is right there. Just turn to the right. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 31 and just mark your place there, and then turn back to the left and go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And so there, Proverbs 31, and then turn back to the left and just hang on there for a few minutes in 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, you think about a day like today, everybody's mind's kind of wrapped up with moms. And that's not a bad thing, even for us guys. You know, I was really thankful and blessed in my life to have two godly grandmothers who kind of paved the way for me. And then I had a godly mom that was a really blessing to my life. And many of you got to know her for a while she was here in the life of our church. It was really great for me because when I grew up, you know, my mom was, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she was always there, always telling us what to do. And so it was kind of cool for me when I got to be an adult that her and dad joined our church, and so I was her pastor, and so now I got to tell her what to do. That was kind of a good turn on things. You know, as I reflect back on my mom's life and what she lived out before me, there are a lot of things that I remember about her that were just, you know, they're awe-inspiring. Like the way she could lift one eyebrow when she looked at me and correct me. It was a penetrating eyebrow. I don't know what it was. Just a gift that God gives to moms, but somehow they just give you that look. They don't even have to say anything, and you know you are about to die. But you know, one of the things that I love most about my mom is just the consistent life that she lived in front of us as her children. You know, it's one thing to be out in public and to be on a stage or to be in a role and you do a job or you perform a ministry. But you've got to go home, and you've got to be a real person. And you've got to deal with the struggles of daily life and the good times and the bad times, the ordinary days. And in those ordinary times and ordinary days, those are the things that I saw in my mom's life where I saw Jesus pictured each day. And those things don't leave you. They stay with you. And even as a guy, you grow up, you say, you know, one thing I want to grow up to be like my mom, because my mom was a follower of Jesus. My mom lived for him. And you know, you turn to the scripture, and I think it's all over the pages of scripture. I mean, for example, look at the life of Jesus. As he's headed to the cross, he stops to make sure that he demonstrates his love and care for his own mom. You turn to the Old Testament, Isaiah in chapter 66, when he's given instructions, he says, as a mother comforts her children. He probably saw that in his own life or in the lives of others, and so he used it as an illustration, and it's a powerful one that we don't need to miss. And then you turn to the New Testament, and I love this passage, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. I learned this lesson when I was a kid. I didn't get that it was from the Bible until I became an adult. But it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And I love what's added here in Ephesians 6. This is quoted from the Old Testament. He said, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Did you get that? Honor your father and your mother. Listen, if you're here with your parents, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And I'll tell you where I learned that when I was a kid. I was actually in church and sitting with our youth group down front, and we were passing notes. Never happens in church, right? Passing notes back and forth, and I was sitting in the middle of the section of pews, and I happened to see some movement at the end, and it was my dad. He saw that we were passing notes. He got up from his place, and he was sliding down the row, and he sat down right beside me. He put his arm around me, and he said, how old are you? And I looked at him like, we're in church. You know, I'm your kid. You know how old I am. I was like, 14. He said, you want to be 15? This is while the preacher's preaching. And so I know there's conversations going on while I'm talking. But so then read this again. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I get that. I understand it. And so it's all through Scripture that we honor our parents. But I think there's a lot we can learn from godly mothers, and even as guys we can learn. And what I want to do today is I want to walk through the pictures of three godly women in the Scripture and just hit some highlights of their life and some lessons that we can learn from them. For example, Mary and Luke 1 and 2, you hear her story. It's a unique story. It's an amazing story. You just imagine Mary was actually an ordinary human being like the rest of us. But God came to her and chose her to be the mother of Jesus, to birth the Savior into this world. Now, he has a unique entry because it's a virgin birth, but she was a special woman. She demonstrated godly character, and you see that, and go back and read, I don't have time to read this, so go back and read Luke 1 and 2 and see her reaction as God comes to her and says, listen, you are among all women highly favored. She had godly character in her life. She demonstrated godly character and godliness. And you know, you think about all the things that we have in our life, all the things that are a part of us, the one thing that we ought to be said of all of us when someone looks at us is, you know what? My mom, my dad, they were a picture of godliness. Not that they're perfect. She wasn't perfect. Not that they're sinless. We're not sinless. But the consistent display of our life, the heartbeat of our soul, the way we think, the way we react, the way we talk, it's a picture of godliness. And Mary displayed that. And the second thing is she was dedicated to following the Lord. You know, one of the instances is in Luke chapter 2, verse 39 and 41. It says that when they had done everything required by the law of the Lord, that is Joseph and Mary, she was committed to following him. And you know, sometimes, to be honest with you, as a parent, sometimes you don't know what to do. Okay? It's difficult. You don't know the decision to make. You don't know the lesson to teach. You don't know how to correct, to get them back on path, or to guide them just through the normal things in life. Sometimes you don't know what to do. And that's when, you know what? You just need to go back to what the Lord tells us. Just follow him. He will guide your steps. He will direct your path. And then the third thing that comes out of her life is just she loved her family. And I think when Jesus was left back in Jerusalem and he was missing and they found him, she says in Luke 2:48 to him, she said, "Do you not understand that your father and I have been anxiously searching for you?" And I can understand that. I can remember when I got home one day and my wife, I mean, it was the wintertime and she was sweating. She was still sweating. And I could tell she was upset. And I said, "What happened? I mean, what's going on?" And now I'm looking for Micah. He's a little guy at the time. And I'm thinking, okay, what has he done? What is happening? And she said, "We went to the mall and I was shopping and he got away from me and I couldn't find him." You know? 5 or 6 years old, he just disappears. Well, you know, he's got the practical man mind, and he couldn't find his mom. He said, "Well, I'm just going to go out to the car." So while they're in the mall going, "Micah Doughty, if Micah Doughty is in the mall, please go to a helper, you know, a leader." And he didn't hear any of that because he's at the car waiting on his mom, and she was anxious about it. I think we can all understand that. It just shows how much you love your children, how much you care for them. And Mary was a display of that. The second lady I want to mention is kind of an unusual story, and I want you to turn there. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you hadn't found it yet, keep searching. It is in your Bible. It's an interesting story. It's really cool. This is a different kind of lady. This lady is, in one way, it's obscure, but in another way, she's kind of living in normal circumstances, other than the fact that she was very wealthy. Her and her husband were well known even by the prophet of the day, Elisha, and so much so that when Elisha was traveling through, he would often stop in and see them because they would give him something to eat and display care for him. And she was so moved by what she saw in this man of God, she told her husband one day, she said, "Hey, let's build a room on the house for this man of God and his servant, Gehazi, so that when they're coming through, traveling, and he's doing God's work, he'll have a place to stay. Let's put a bed and a table and a lamp in it and It's four walls and a roof, and let's make it a comfortable place for him to stay. And he just displayed that this woman had great consideration of others. You know, if you think about some of the godly women in your life, I think about, my grandmothers. I think about my mom. I think about my wife, who's a godly mom to our son. One of the characteristics of their life is that they just will go out of their way to do something for someone else at personal sacrifice. I'll give something up of my own in order to share with someone else. And that's exactly what this woman was doing. She was making sure that Elisha was cared for. And then something interesting happened. Elisha, after this relationship was building, comes back to her and says, you know, we need to do something for her. And she's been so gracious and kind to her. He and Gehazi are talking, and he says, let's go ask what we can do for her. And when she was asked, you know what her response was? I will live among my own people. And it just something that was kind of peaceful about her answer, and that was that she was just content in life. Content. You know, that's a hard place for a lot of times for us to get, isn't it? We're always striving for something more, something bigger, something better. But a godly characteristic, I think, of this woman's life was she said, you know what? I really don't need anything. I'm content. Now, that's interesting. Because though she had a lot financially, she was blessed. It says she was a wealthy woman. And she had a godly husband. She did not have any children. She was not yet a mom. But she still didn't ask for anything. She was just content. I know sometimes that's tough to be content with a lot that we have in life, but that is a characteristic that she displayed. Now, what's interesting is Elisha didn't leave that alone. And he comes back to her after a discussion with Gehazi and says, you know what? God's going to give you a child. And a year later, guess what? She has a child. Now, I can't imagine how overjoyed she must have been at that one moment. Been waiting a long time, didn't ask for anything. Trying to help out the man of God, and he comes to you one day and says, you know what? I think God's going to bless you with a child. And he does. It's a boy. She celebrates. You know, there are those unique relationships in life that just can't be exchanged for anything. And this is probably one of those occasions in her life. And the scripture says that the son grew up and he's hanging out with dad. They're out in the field and they're working. And he has a bad headache. So much so he gets deathly sick. He's brought to the house, and she sees him, takes him from dad, goes upstairs and lays him down, and his headache is so bad that he dies. Now, I don't know how old the child was, but I know her heart was probably breaking at that moment. She thinks to herself, what am I going to do? She said, all right, here's what we're going to do. Go get the donkey. I need to go see the man of God. Her husband doesn't know about the death of the boy. He says, what's going on? Do you really need to go see him today? I mean, it's not Mother's Day. It's not Father's Day. He said, New Moon or Festival is what he said. But it's not a special religious day. Do you really need to go see the man of God? And she said, this is her answer. All is well. All is well. I just need to go see him. And she makes her way. When she was a little bit off from Mount Carmel where Elisha was, he saw her coming. He says, hey, look, it's a Shunammite woman. Go meet her, find out what's going on. Gehazi goes and meets her and asks, inquires about what's going on, and she says, all is well. Same comment. And finally gets before Elisha and falls down at his feet. And you can just imagine the distress. And I think this whole picture is just a very distressful situation. And she tells him what's going on. And as you read chapter 4, Elisha finally makes his way to her house. Gehazi has already been there. He reports that the boy is still dead. Elisha marches back and forth, prays for the boy. In fact, the scripture says he stretches out on the boy. And then his body becomes warm. And the boy is brought back to life. Now, here's the interesting thing. She had no idea what God was going to do. She had no idea that the boy would ever live again. This was not natural. It didn't happen every day, but it happened on this occasion. But it revealed something about her, and that is that she had a consistent faith. A consistent faith. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about her story. Her faith was always in God, good or bad. If everything worked out like you wanted or nothing worked out like you planned, her faith was still consistent. Her faith and trust was in God. And I think if there's any characteristic of this woman's life, it's that one that we need to hold on to. You know, in this world, there's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times. There's going to be times when it seems like nothing can go wrong, and there's going to be times in your life when it seems like nothing can go right. But in every one of those moments, God has not lost his grip on your life. He has not run away and hidden his face from you. He is still God. He's still on his throne. He still loves you more than anybody in this world. And all he asks is, you trust in me. The last lady I want to mention is a lady that's actually just a few pages back. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, read the story of Hannah, who also had no children, and it had deeply bothered her. So much so that when her husband and her went up to Shiloh to worship, she stole a few moments away and went to pray herself. In fact, the priest that was there that day thought that there was something wrong with her because of the way she was acting. She was in such deep distress. But Hannah prayed, and God heard her prayer. And God gave her a son. His name, Samuel. And I think there are three pictures of her life that just, again, remind us what we need to do and where we need to turn and how we need to live. It's this. When trouble comes, she knew where to turn. And we do too. You turn to the Lord. And when those moments come in our life and we don't know what to say, don't know what to do, what decisions to make, or how to live, just turn back to Jesus. She knew how to pray. You know, I think about this one, and I think about my own life. There have been plenty of times in my life when I did not pray about the things that I needed to pray about. Even growing up, like I remember having a conversation with my mom in our kitchen at home. I remember we were having this in-depth discussion, and she kept bringing God up, and I kept throwing God out of the conversation. And she said, well, son, you just need to understand, this is an answer to prayer. And I said, no, it's not. I said, that's where you're wrong, because I have not been praying about it. And she said, I know you haven't been praying about it, but I've been praying about it. And at that moment, to be honest with you, I was a teenager, and I was a smart aleck, and I really didn't like her answer. But the older I got, the more that changed. And I tell you, the day that that my mom passed away, we went into the hospital on one day for minor surgery, and if you weren't here, she had some complications, and by the end of the next day, she had passed away. I went to my dad's house that night to spend the night with him, and it was really kind of a strange feeling at the first moment in your life when your mom wasn't here. Next morning, I woke up and we were eating breakfast and talking about things, and it dawned on me about 10 o'clock. Something was different about the day. It was the first day of my life that I got up and lived a day and my mom wasn't praying for me. Moms, listen to me. Hannah started it right, didn't she? Before he was ever born, she prayed for his life. Do you think that ever stopped when God answered that prayer? No. Listen, you know one thing you learn when you're a parent? You can't always be with them, can you? You go to spend the night with somebody? You go on a field trip? You want to be with them. And for a while, they will tolerate that. And then the day comes. Mom, when you lean over to get the kiss from your teenage son or your teenage daughter and go, okay, honey, y'all have fun at the movie. See you, Mom. Out of here. I remember that. You can't always be with them bodily, but you can always be praying. If there's one thing our kids ought to count on from us, and I hope every kid can say what I'm saying. I'm about to be 52 years old. And I can say every single day of my life, up until the day my mom passed away, I know my mom was praying for me. Now that is the picture of love, isn't it? And then the last thing is this. She knew who to trust. Samuel was born. God used him in a miraculous way. But in her darkest days and her greatest struggles, this lady just knew who to trust. Trust in the Lord. He's got this. And he sure did. Now, I want you to look at Proverbs 31. This is one of my favorite Proverbs to read. And there's two reasons for that. One is because I think this is a picture of the mom that God gave to me. And the other is that I think this is a scripture that always gives us inspiration, knowing how to live. And I just want to read it. Down in verse 10, Proverbs 31, verse 10. He says, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant, and she brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. And she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I think when you read those words, you just say, you know what? Those were activities of the day. Maybe you don't do those exact same things, but what we do recognize today is, Mom, you wear 1,000 hats. Every day your job looks a little different. And yet at the same time, you approach them all the same, with determination and strength and vitality. I love the way this wraps up. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. With these words, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. And then listen to this summary. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. What a call to us. What a call to the men in the room today. It's a reminder every day, we should applaud the women in our life that are living for the Lord. They're godly women that are displaying His grace and mercy every single day. And I just want to say to you, ladies, I know that along the way it gets tiring because life's not always easy, and there are some days that are beyond tough. And sometimes your heart breaks in a way that a man's heart just never feels. And sometimes the tasks that you do seem unappreciated. No one applauds you for the work that you do. I don't know if anybody got a standing ovation for doing laundry, or cooking dinner. But I want you to know something. What you do matters. It makes a difference. I can honestly say I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for my mom, in more ways than one. You shape the hearts and lives of the people around you. You make an incredible difference. And today, we say thank you. Thank you for all you do. Amen. Several years ago, I started this on Mother's Day at our invitation time, and I want to continue it today. And the reason is, it's just kind of in honor and tribute to my mom, because she always prayed for me, and I thought, you know what, it's a good thing for our church family to pray for the ladies in our church together. And so I want to invite you, ladies, to come to the altar and just kneel right here, if you will. Just come on down. Again, just get as close as you can. We'll, ladies from the balcony, come on down. An opportunity to come down. I want us to pray together. If you want to kneel where you are, that's great. If you need to stand, that's fine. Or find an empty seat right nearby. I'm sure some of the guys that are right by you will give up their seat for you if you need to sit down. Guys, this is what I want us to do. What you think about this a second? Maybe your mom is down here, kneeling somewhere. Maybe your wife is down here. Let me ask you something. How often do you just pray for her? Hey, it makes a difference. God works in a tremendous way. And you know what? Now is our opportunity to begin a new habit every day, to take the time to pray for our mom, to pray for our wives as they live out their lives for Jesus. And ladies, I just want you to know, you make a difference. What you do matters every single day. The great big decisions and the very small things that seemingly no one pays attention to, they do not ever escape the eyes of the Lord. And He's right there with you. And we thank God for you. And so right now, what I want you to do, while I pray for all the group, why don't you pray for the ladies in your life that are here? And let's pray together right now. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your love for us. You give gifts to us every day. Just the gift of life is a precious gift. But one of the greatest gifts that you ever have given to us are the ladies that are right here in this room. And God, we just want to lift them up to you. We just want to give them back to you. God, I thank you for them. I thank you for their passion and desire to know you and to live out a godly life for others to see and to follow. I thank you for their great words of wisdom and compassion that they share with us. I thank you for the way you direct them in God's Word, the Bible. And those moments when they point those things out to us that they've learned. I thank you for the way you have placed in the hearts of these women to love. It's unique. It's a gracious gift. And God, we thank you for their amazing compassion and patience. And God, I thank you for their desire to know you, even being here today, not just for Mother's Day, but being here to meet with you, and have you work in their life. And I just pray right now through the work of your Holy Spirit, you would just encourage their hearts with your presence. You just let them know above all things in this world, they are loved. They are loved by us in this room. They are loved by you. And there is no greater love than the love that you have for us. And God, I pray that every day you wake them up in the morning, you would just encourage them with your presence and let them know they're not alone, that you're right there with them. And God, I pray when the days are tough, you would be their strength. And when the days are easy, you would be their glory. Lord, we just come before you today to say thank you. Thank you for giving them to us. Thank you for sharing their lives with us. We pray that you would bless them. And God, I just want to thank them. Stop a moment and thank you for some wonderful women in my life. I thank you for my grandmothers. You poured Jesus into me even when I didn't want to listen. I thank you for my mom who prayed for me every day and always took me back to you. God, I thank you for my mother-in-law, picture of grace and godliness. And I thank you for my wife, for being a godly mom, raising our son, and for being my wife for 30 years. Lord, we pray that you would bless all of these ladies today and allow us to be a blessing to them. Give us the words to speak, the actions to take, the ways to extend ourselves today that would really say to them that we love you. Lord, thank you for loving us by giving these ladies to our lives. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, let's give them another round of applause today. Amen.